Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, this should be a fun podcast today. Well, they're all fun, right? Here on Locked On Kings. Thank you for finding us. I'm your host, Jason Ross. Again, thank you for the numbers. We had huge, huge numbers for our Bobby Gerald two-part NBA draft podcast. So thank you for that. Finding us on iTunes, subscribe there, leave us ratings and reviews if you would, because that moves us up the ladder there, which is some algorithm. I have no idea how they do it, but if you could help us out with that, that would be beneficial. Also, Audioboom, Stitcher, and Google Play, all the different places you can find us. Today, we're going to do our first Locked On Kings mock draft. That's how it's going to go today, all the way up to number 10. Kings are picking 5, Kings are picking 10. We're going to check in the different cities with different reporters and different guys that I know and see what they think their teams may do in our first Locked On Kings mock draft. All right, we're going to start with the team at the top of the draft, and that is the Boston Celtics. They've got so much control in this, and Chris Forsberg covers the team for ESPN in Boston. Chris, choices for Danny Ainge. Is this a good thing? Sometimes it could create some havoc. What do you think the selection might end up being for Danny Ainge?
Well, I think the Celtics relish the opportunity to have their control of their own destiny here, right? Like the last few years, number 3 last year, number 6 a couple of years ago. You had to wait and see how the board played out in front of you. I think they like the idea that they get to choose their favorite guy. And, well, let's face it, this week they were able to get Markelle Fultz in there and get an up-close look at him. It's hard for me to envision a scenario in which they don't go with Markelle Fultz. Now, there's always a chance a trade materializes and some team is desperate to give away an already established superstar. But, you know, when you look at the Celtics, and especially when you look around at the rest of the league and the way the Warriors and the Cavaliers are playing, I think the Celtics have been pretty patient in this building process. It would surprise me if they didn't go in the direction of Markelle Fultz.
And any thought on the? I know Fultz can play off the ball. Was that cause any concern for what is an ex-King, Isaiah Thomas, who's become the Mr. Celtic there? Any concern for him?
Yeah, you know, there's definitely some wonder about how the two will fit together and how the two scorers coexist and two guys that play very similar styles at times. To their credit, both guys have come out and said, hey, we'll make this work. And, you know, that's encouraging to hear from Isaiah's perspective in terms of, all right, I'll figure out a way for this young kid to come in. And, you know, Isaiah says, I can go off the ball at times. And Fultz says, okay, I can move off the ball at times. And, you know, maybe they can take some of the ball handling responsibilities off of each other's plates. Make it a little bit easier for them to find ways to create scoring, but they do have a bond, whether it's the University of Washington. And, you know, listen, it's I think Danny Ainge would like to have that problem trying to figure out how the two coexist. I think Brad Stevens would invite that challenge. I just think they feel like Fultz is probably the most talented guy out there. And while they would love if a 7-footer was available to fill maybe their bigger need, they don't mind a little bit of extra guard talent, and they'll figure out how to make it work.
All right, before we officially get your pick, even though it seems like we know where you're leaning, want to get one question on Gordon Hayward. We hear that name for you guys a lot. Is that a realistic free agent target that Boston's looking at?
Yeah, I would think the Celtics are if there's a guy out there that really intrigues them, and, you know, it's a little bit obvious because of the relationship that Brad Stevens has, and I always wondered if people were just making a bigger deal about that than, you know, maybe there was actual interest. But when you look at the free agent market and you look at where the Celtics have a need, I think they really like not only the way that Gordon Hayward has developed as a player, but the versatility he could bring, the way he can handle the ball a little bit, and maybe that, again, they're always kind of looking for ways to take some of the pressure off Isaiah Thomas to score the basketball. They still love him to go out there and average 29 points per game next season, but if they can just prevent teams from keying on him, especially in the playoffs, and have other threats out there, I think Gordon's probably the most intriguing option that's going to be potentially on the free agent market. You'll hear other names, Blake Griffin, and you know, it'll come down to whether the Celtics are satisfied with his injury history and and if he's even available for them to go after at that point. But I think the bottom line is the Celtics need more impact players. I think they know that they need to take they need more talent to kind of close that gap with the Cavs that we saw in the playoffs. And so they're going to swing for the fences in this offseason and try and get as much talent in here as they can.
All right, Chris, so you cover the Celtics for ESPN Boston. I'm putting you on the clock. The number one pick in our mock draft for the Boston Celtics is?
It's Markelle Fultz. And if I tip my hand early, and I think the Celtics should probably do the same. I know that they got to play close to the vest because they want to make sure that other teams don't just dismiss it and will bring their best trade packages and bring their best offers. And Danny Ainge said after the Markelle Fultz interview that he was going to keep looking around and see what's out there, but I just think from what I've been able to see, what I've been able to gauge from the team, I think Markelle is their guy, and I think they're excited about trying to figure out how to make it exactly work with Isaiah Thomas.
All right, we move on to the number two team in the NBA draft, and that's, of course, the Los Angeles Lakers. Plenty of choices for them, and to help us sort it all out, from the Southern California News Group beat writer for the Lakers, it is Mark Medina. Mark, in our mock draft, Markelle Fultz goes number one, leaves you a full board of a lot of different players. There's a lot of people linked, but one big name. Before we get your pick, what's kind of the outlook in Los Angeles now that Magic Johnson is back, Rob Pelinka? Is there kind of a new life that the Lakers may be on the bounce back soon?
I think in one respect there is a new life because the previous front office and Mitch Kupchak and Jim Buss feel a lot of criticism in recent years with all the different coaching changes, the free agency strikeouts, how they weren't able to really build a good supporting cast around Kobe. Partly that had to do with his contract, but also arguably had to do with just their failure to build a good cast around him. But on the second hand, I think there's a lot of question marks because Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka, even though they've had success in other fields, they don't have previous front office experience. So I think it's kind of a wait-and-see approach, and they also know that they have a young team. So I think they're bracing for the long haul. But, you know, the Lakers are always an exciting team to cover, no matter if they're hosting championship parades or trying to get the right ping pong ball combination in the NBA draft lottery.
Yeah, and that was a huge win. I mean, that would have been disastrous had it not gone their way, but it does go their way. Is there still an appeal with the name Magic Johnson and potential free agents? That's the logical thought, but is that something that's going to connect and get them more free agents?
You know, I think it certainly helps. You know, Magic Johnson is who he is. He's that well-known point guard from the Showtime Lakers. He has a very charismatic personality, so if you have him in the room, it could only help. But at the end of the day, it really comes down to what talent does the team have on the floor? What coaching staff do they have, trying to develop these players? And, you know, the Lakers and several around the NBA are very high on Luke Walton's potential as a young coach. But there's more uncertainty on this young roster. If any of them could be future superstars or all-stars or just solid rotation players. And so I think that's where the main pressing point will be. So, you know, you add all those factors up, I don't think they're going to make a splash in free agency this particular offseason, but I think it's more about trying to build off of that momentum with the foundation they already have.
All right, so then let's get to it. That next hopeful star for the Los Angeles Lakers at number two in our mock draft, Markelle Fultz goes number one. So, Mark, who do you have for the Lakers at number two?
Well, I think the Lakers are going to pick Lonzo Ball for a few reasons. They've been expecting that Markelle Fultz wouldn't be available with the Boston Celtics picking them. And then they're really intrigued about Lonzo Ball's game, and they're very familiar with him because he's been playing in their backyard at UCLA. They see him as that complete point guard who can make everyone around him better with his passing, his leadership, but can also look for his own shot. Now, I know obviously there's a lot of question marks about his father, LeVar Ball, and how outspoken he is, and if that could be a distraction with the Lakers. I'm sure that the Lakers have certainly been doing their homework about LeVar and making sure that they establish their boundaries, that he wouldn't be at practices or undermining the front office, coaching staff, or any of Lonzo's future teammates. But I don't think they're too concerned about him. I think at the end of the day, they're evaluating Lonzo Ball for what he does on the court, and kind of the MO on that is pretty good right now, so I think they're going to go with Lonzo Ball at number two.
What do you think that would mean for Russell?
Well, I think it could mean two things, and the Lakers are flexible with either scenario. They either see D'Angelo as more expendable in a trade because they already have a point guard, or they basically shift D'Angelo's role. And what's interesting, that's already happened to a degree where they have sensed that D'Angelo is much more comfortable playing at the off-ball position because of his emergence as an outside shooter, the fact that he was going through some growing pains of knowing when to set guys up and knowing when to look for his shot. And I think it could be a very good tandem offensively. Now, there still are question marks with that. One, defensively, neither Lonzo Ball or D'Angelo Russell are really known to be good defensive stoppers. And number two, even if D'Angelo Russell is seen as a pretty good player that can play off the ball, to what degree would he feel comfortable not having the ball in his hands as much as he did his first two seasons with the Lakers? So the Lakers drafting Lonzo Ball does not necessarily mean it's definitely the end of D'Angelo Russell, but it widens the possibility of that happening.
All right, we move on to team number three in our NBA mock draft here, and we've already heard from Boston, Markelle Fultz. Los Angeles, number two, took Lonzo Ball. Now we're on to the Sixers, and a lot of people feel this is where the draft could get interesting, but let's find out more about that with Keith Pompey, who covers this team on a regular basis for the Philadelphia Inquirer. And Keith, before we get your pick, I almost want to get to the unknown quantities, and that's, you know, we saw what we did see last year of Joel Embiid was fantastic, and we still haven't seen Simmons. What's the outlook of what those two guys could help eventually be, or what they hope they could be in Philadelphia?
You know, everyone's thinking that they're going to be the cornerstones of the future. I mean, you know, they're looking at building this team through the draft, and they think that they have two guys who can become, you know, all-stars down the road. And with that said, you know, they're just trying to, you know, get pieces to blend in with them. You know, there's a guy like Embiid, they think he's going to become an all-star. And Ben Simmons, they think that he can become, you know, something similar between a cross between Magic Johnson and LeBron James, which is a pretty good player, yeah. But, you know, there's a lot of high expectations for those two guys.
So I know they have been adamant, at least saying they want Simmons to be their point guard or at least their decision maker with the ball. And I don't necessarily want your pick yet, but does that affect what they might do at three, knowing that they want him to be a decision maker?
I mean, you think it will. I mean, of course, you know, right now they're saying, oh, no, you know, we have a couple great point guards. We also have some good wings. We have some good shooting guards. And it's really not going to affect it, you know, what we're going to do. But, you know, when you think about having the third overall pick and, you know, you want to get that person to be, of course, the best player available. But also you have to make sure that you get someone that's going to fit in well with the system. You know, you don't want to draft so high and then, you know, have that player playing a different position and have that player coming off the bench at the third overall pick. So, yeah, it makes them, it does affect what they're trying to do.
All right, one other team-related question before we get your pick. Will Jahlil Okafor be on this team when the season starts?
You know, it's funny. In the beginning of the season, I was saying no, or excuse me, at the tail end of the regular season, I was saying no, you know, just because we all know they were shopping him around. But then as good as Embiid is, you know, you do need somebody that's just in case he doesn't play all the games this year. And the fact that, on top of that, I feel like a trade partner, you know, would really want to see a body of work. You know, this past year, you know, Okafor has been dealing with the knee injury. So it's one of those things, if he's going to get traded, I think it's probably going to be at the trade deadline, you know, next year, if they do that, because if I'm another team, I don't think that I'm a chance. And if I'm the Sixers, I think that I need some security until I know that Embiid is going to be healthy.
All right, Keith. So with Markelle Fultz going one to Boston, two, the Lakers taking Lonzo Ball, you are up for three on our mock draft. The Philadelphia 76ers select
Josh Jackson out of Kansas.
All right, I like it. So why is he the fit?
I mean, you know what, the things we talked about, you know, the Sixers right now, they think that they have a quality point guard in Ben Simmons. And, they also, you know, they have a big man in Embiid. And I think that for the offense that they want to run and the defense that they want to run, that Josh Jackson is the perfect fit. Now, again, Josh Jackson needs to improve his outside shooting. But I think that with the player development staff that the Sixers have, that he will, you know, be able to do that. At least that's the thought. And I just feel like, you know, there's other guys like De'Aaron Fox. There's, Malik Monk, Jason Tatum. They're all pretty good guys. But I just think that at this particular time that Josh Jackson is the best guy, and he's also the perfect fit.
Now let's move on to number four, the pick right before the Kings. It's the Phoenix Suns, former NBA player, current analyst on the radio side, Tim Kempton, joining us. So, Tim, Phoenix ready to find some more talented players to already go with that young, all those teenagers a year ago, Booker and Bender and Chris. Do they really want this pick at four? Are they looking to add a veteran and move this pick? What's kind of the early plan on what Phoenix wants to do?
Well, I think you add a pick. Daycare is in full swing in Phoenix, so you might as well just add another person that gets along in the same age group, and everybody can play in the sandbox together. So I think Phoenix sticks with the pick, and they take another young guy to go along with that core that they've got going on with those young guys.
And when you heard about our mock draft, you weren't surprised by Fultz, you weren't too surprised by Ball, but the name Josh Jackson went right before you guys. Seemed to be someone you guys might be targeting. Is that someone that you're eyeing?
Yeah, that definitely hurt. I hope this mock draft doesn't play out, because the nice thing about Josh Jackson, he adds something that we don't have. One of the things that the Suns did at the trade deadline was move P.J. Tucker, who was by far our best defender. And that's what Josh Jackson adds, for the Suns if he's not there. You look at some of the other guys, Tatum out of Duke. He's another guy that needs the ball to be successful. And that's why I like Josh Jackson. We already got two guys that are pretty good with the ball, and Eric Bledsoe and obviously Devin Booker. So Josh Jackson would step in alongside of those two guys, give him a little bit of defensive help, you know, at that tough position, the 2-3 position, which is so strong in the NBA, and take a little bit of the workload off Devin Booker. That's not his strong suit, and, don't have him waste energy on the defensive end. And, I'd like Josh Jackson for the Suns. In the mock draft, it didn't work out.
Yeah.
But hopefully it does work out on draft day for us.
All right, so then you're put in that tough spot. I mean, GMs could have guys they like, but they got a reality of making a pick. So if it's Fultz gone, Ball gone, Josh Jackson, Tim Kempton, according to you, and being on the clock, who would the Phoenix Suns take at number four?
I would like to see him take Jonathan Isaac out of Florida State.
Wow.
Again, another young guy that would join the other young guys that the Phoenix Suns have. But what I like about Jonathan Isaac, again, more on the defensive end than the offensive end right now. So here you go. How about this lineup? Devin Booker, Eric Bledsoe, Marquise Chris, Jonathan Isaac, and Dragan Bender. There you go. And roll that out. See how well that plays out. But I think it gives him help in the front court where, hey, you know, we have Alex Len, but Tyson Chandler can't keep on doing this till he's 50 years old. So I see him more in the likeness of a Tyson Chandler, defensive rebounding, changing shots, but being able to get his offense by running the floor, crashing the offensive glass, and not necessarily needing the ball to be successful and fit in with this young group.
Well, that leaves us open here at number five. I can hear you, Kings fans. I'm going to make the pick for you, and I know what you want. I know what I would do with Fultz gone, with Lonzo Ball gone, with Josh Jackson gone, and with Jonathan Isaac gone. I know that Isaac pick will disturb Bobby Gerald, who was a big fan of his. He probably would have taken him at five, but he is off the board. I see the need. I see the match. I see the fit. I'm going to do it. Kentucky's point guard, De'Aaron Fox. That's who I will take for the Kings at number five. Thinks it makes a lot of sense for this team. It's a player with a great motor, a guy that can get after it defensively, and hopefully a guy that will work on his jump shot, but a guy that seems to be a good kid, wants to be, has expressed interest in Sacramento. I like that part of it too, and it just kind of fits with what the team is trying to do and how they're trying to build it. So I think it makes a lot of sense at five for the Kings to take De'Aaron Fox. All right, right after the Kings pick, now we move on to six because we know the Kings are picking again at number 10. So these next couple picks will be important. And the next option comes from Orlando. And Adam Shadoff joining us, the sports anchor out there at Fox 35 in Orlando. And Adam, Orlando's been a little bit like the Sacramento Kings, kind of years of trying to figure it out and figure it out. They've been in the lottery a lot. Is it getting frustrating for the fans?
Yeah, I think we're beyond frustration. It's really amazing, though. The fans here still seem to show up and relatively at least support the team. But yeah, 5-6 years of futility and reboot after reboot. It's tiring. It's time. The time is now.
Yeah. Do they feel good about Vogel? They think they got the right guy in Frank Vogel?
Yeah, I think everybody's happy with Vogel. I mean, obviously, even at the end of the season, Vogel himself was frustrated with things. I think Frank thought he had some pieces that were going to be better than what they ended up really being. And the whole thing with Serge Ibaka was obviously frustrating. And, you know, you guys know how it is out there. When you lose and lose and lose, it just wears on you. But, yeah, I think Frank Vogel is – they're happy with him, certainly. And now we just got the new GM and VP of basketball operations combo. So there is some optimism here.
Sorry, so let's get into our mock draft here then of Boston, Markelle Fultz, 2, Lonzo Ball to the Lakers, 3, Philadelphia took Josh Jackson, 4, Phoenix, Jonathan Isaac, 5, the Kings, De'Aaron Fox. So now, Adam, it's up to you at 6. Orlando Magic would then select?
So I would think that they would take Malik Monk, the shooting guard from Kentucky. They need scoring. They need scoring badly. They really don't. That's the one thing they really don't have. They've got enough big guys for sure. They've got enough projects. I would think Jonathan Isaac, the power forward guy from Florida State, would be potential there, but he's more of a project. And I think Malik Monk is fantastic. I thought he was unbelievable. He's really athletic. He can shoot. He can score. So I would say that would be a spot to take Malik Monk from Kentucky.
All right, let's move on to Minnesota. I hate to say it, the only team that's been in the lottery longer than the Sacramento Kings. We share their pain for the Minnesota Timberwolves. They will be selecting 7th. They got a lot of young talent. Of course, in our mock draft, we've already heard Fultz, Ball, Josh Jackson, Jonathan Isaac, De'Aaron Fox, and Malik Monk. But now to share some more insight on Minnesota, John Krasinski from the Associated Press covers Minnesota on a regular basis. And John, before I get your pick, one rumor that's been swirling out there, I want to see how valid it is. What's the likelihood that we see Derrick Rose kind of reunited with Coach Tibbs in Minnesota?
Yeah, it's certainly something that everyone is monitoring. We all know that they had discussions with the New York Knicks right around the trade deadline on a Rubio for Derrick Rose swap, and those talks did not come to fruition. Ultimately, because the Knicks were ready to do a deal right at the deadline, and Tom Thibodeau decided that he wanted to hold on to Ricky Rubio. Rubio was playing very well toward the end of the season, and so they decided not to give up kind of their veteran point guard, starting point guard, to bring in Derrick Rose. Now, from what I understand, as the free agency period opens this summer, they will certainly look at Derrick Rose. I don't think he's an extremely high priority for them, but I do think that if Rubio were to get traded, or if a few other things did not work out, certainly they could look at Derrick Rose as a plan B or C type of an option for them in free agency. Tibbs and Rose clearly are very familiar with each other. Derrick would like to be closer to Chicago, where he's from, and so all of those things would kind of conspire to give them to make it a realistic possibility. But I do think that they will look in several other directions before they go to Derrick Rose.
All right. Well, John, you are now on the clock. I don't know if the draft will play out this way exactly, but our mock draft has so far. At number 7, who would Minnesota take, according to at least our mock draft?
Yeah, I am a little bit surprised that Jonathan Isaac went as high as he did. I think that the Wolves would like to see him right there at 7 to slot in as a future stretch 4 next to Karl-Anthony Towns. And so in the absence of Isaac being around, and it seems like the natural pick here is Jason Tatum from Duke. I think that a lot of people expect him to go in the top 5 or 6 picks. And so to have him there at number 7 as another wing player who can be dynamic, who can score a little bit, who can probably bring some versatility to the fold, I think they would look very hard at taking Jason Tatum. The other player I think that would get a lot of study and a lot of consideration right here at number seven is Dennis Smith, from the point guard from North Carolina State. Obviously, if they went in that direction, they would probably have to trade Ricky Rubio and find another home for him. But Smith is another very talented kind of scoring point guard that fits a little bit more in the Tom Thibodeau mold of what he generally likes out of his point guards. So, you know, I still think that given the options that they, if Jason Tatum is there at number seven, I have to think that they'd probably jump at that pick.
All right, we move on to number eight, and that's the New York Knicks. Ryan Field, sports anchor at WABC in New York, joining us. Ryan, first, before we get your pick, scale of 1 to 10, how frustrated are, and 10 being the worst, how frustrated are Knicks fans with Phil Jackson at this point?
Can I say 456?
That's
acceptable.
Because
I think that might be the proper answer to that question. I mean, obviously, Knicks fans with Phil Jackson, they were encouraged by his pick of Kristaps Porzingis and then Mindaugas Kuzminskas in the second round. So clearly he's done some good things recently draft-wise, even though Porzingis obviously wasn't a popular pick on draft night, but obviously wound up being one of the better picks in that draft. So I think they're willing to give him the benefit of the doubt when it comes to free agency after the Joakim Noah signing. Probably not so much. But, yeah, so they're very anxious to kind of see what direction Phil's going to go in here with this pick, picking eighth in the draft. And, you know, I think he's kind of earned the benefit of the doubt based on those two picks that I just mentioned.
All right, one more before your pick on the team. Carmelo Anthony, is he a Knick at the start of the season?
I don't think so.
Really?
I think the writing's on the wall. I think now that Phil has basically come out and said that he needs to be in a better situation than the Knicks, Melo's in the twilight of his career. He needs to go to a contender. I mean, unless he's just content being here with the Knicks, but I feel like because everything that happened this season with him and Phil Jackson and Phil kind of going behind his back, behind Melo's back and saying what he said, and now publicly coming out and saying that he feels that Melo's better off playing somewhere else. You know, plus Melo gets a trade kicker if he gets traded, so there's a monetary value to that happening as well for him. So I think ultimately at the end of the day, it's going to be best for both parties if Melo moves on. Where he goes, anybody's guess, but I don't think he'll be back with the Knicks next season.
All right, Ryan, with that said, the Knicks are on the clock at number eight. You are picking for them Fultz, Ball, Jackson, Isaac, Fox, Monk, Tatum are gone. With the eighth pick, the New York Knicks would then select?
I will have them picking Dennis Smith Jr. from North Carolina State. They average over 18 points per game for the Wolfpack. Obviously, some question about his shot selection and whatnot, and he, of course, tore his ACL here before his senior season, but was still ACC Freshman of the Year. And I think he's going to be a safe pick for the Knicks. They're bringing him in for a workout this week, and I think ultimately that's the direction they're going to go in.
All right, number nine, an important pick for the Kings because it's right before Sacramento's second pick at number 10. And Mike Beasley joining us, works in Dallas with ESPN Radio there and works with the Mavericks as well and pre-half and post. So, Mike, let's start with kind of unfamiliar territory first before we get your pick for the Mavs. They're not – lottery and the Mavericks don't usually equal up. How's Mark Cuban handling this?
I think he's actually looking forward to it, Jason, because they haven't had, you know, a top 10 pick since way back in the day when they selected Devin Harris. So it's a good time to be in the top 10, I guess, as deep of a draft it is. So certainly the needs are there. The needs are at point guard. They can use a wing player. And, you know, when you lose as many games as the Mavericks did last year, obviously the needs are pretty high around the board.
Is there a feeling that the Mavericks are way off or just a little bit off? Does this need to be a full reboot, finish with – like, how, where are they kind of in that part of this?
You know, they're in a tough situation because they do want to win when Dirk is here, but they have gotten younger. You know, they bring in Harrison Barnes. You know, they'll get another young player here in the draft. So they're trying to win while Dirk is still here, at least this season coming up, maybe one more after that. They're just kind of in that limbo where they're not fully ready to rebuild. They're not ready to contend, kind of in that, you know, awful spot that sometimes teams can get into.
Yeah, but they got a great coach and an owner that wants to win. So some good things going for them. Our draft has had Fultz, Ball, Josh Jackson, Jonathan Isaac, De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk, Jason Tatum, then Dennis Smith Jr. So, Mike, Dallas is on the clock at nine. If this were the way it were to lay out and you were making the decision at nine, the Dallas Mavericks would then select?
Well, I'd be very disappointed, first of all, that Dennis Smith was selected right in front of me, because that's the guy I'm most intrigued with, and I think the Mavericks are as well. But I will go with the guy that they have been linked to a lot, the point guard over from France, Frank Ntilikina. So I think they will select him if he's available there at number nine. It's a point guard that can come in, develop. He can learn under some of the veterans, and I think that'll be I think that would be their pick there at number nine.
So you feel like, and then also you would say point guards the need, because you mentioned Smith and Ntilikina. I mean, is this kind of the route they're definitely going?
Well, I wouldn't say definitely going, but I think they are leaning that way. I mean, they could also look at Markkanen, the big guy from Arizona. He's been linked, obviously, the comparisons between he and Dirk. But I just think, in terms of, you know, the way the NBA is right now, if you don't have yourselves a really good point guard, you know, you're behind the eight ball. So I think Ntilikina would be the pick at number nine over Markkanen.
All right. And then lastly, Dallas always seems to be players in free agency. Where do you see them when July comes around?
Well, I think a lot depends upon who they select here in the draft. I mean, if they want to, go the Markkanen route, you could see them playing for Jrue Holiday. That would be a point guard that would be available as well. Otherwise, they'll go out there, they'll try to find some kind of wing player, some creator that can go along with Harrison Barnes.
Now we're back to the Kings pick at 10, and the way this is laid out makes it difficult for me. Between Fultz, Ball, Josh Jackson, Jonathan Isaac, I took De'Aaron Fox for the Kings at 5, Malik Monk, Jason Tatum, Dennis Smith Jr., and then Frank Ntilikina. Oh, man, there's a couple of choices. I've asked several other people what they would do on this if they were Kings were picking at 10. More people are sending me text of one name, and I would think long and hard about OG Anunoby. I would think of Indiana. I'm a fan of his. I think there's a little bit of a reach there, but I think there's some potential. DJ Wilson of Michigan. I think about Donovan Mitchell, though I think that's probably the smallest need the Kings would have at this point. I would end up taking Lauri Markkanen, I guess, based on what other people have told me, based on what some people think his overall skill set could be. If that were in the Kings and they were taking 10 and ended with De'Aaron Fox and Markkanen, that's what we got for him. That's the consensus, more so. Not 100%, not sold on that. Felt much better about the De'Aaron Fox pick. But for our mock draft, we end up at number 10 with the Sacramento Kings taking Lauri Markkanen. All right, there's a look at our mock draft. Our thanks to everyone that helped me out with this, whether it was Chris Forsberg, Mark Medina, Keith Pompey, Tim Kempton, Adam Shadoff, John Krasinski. I thank him as well. We had Ryan Field, Mike Peasley, all the different experts that we had from the different areas of the country. We do thank them for their part in our first Locked On Kings mock draft. Thank you so much for listening. We're back again tomorrow with another edition of Locked On Kings.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.